Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Friday, April 28th, 2017 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Start this off by saying, you know, I'm a little disappointed because, as I mentioned the other day, when I got off my show Wednesday night, I had sent a email to James and Joanne Moriarty, and to this point, I still haven't heard from them. So if anybody out there has their contact information other than the website, or if you want to just drop them an email and ask them to get back in contact with me, I appreciate it, because I was looking forward to having them up and getting their perspective on the show I did on Muammar Gaddafi. But that's okay. You know, I think one caller called in and said they were kind of hiding a little bit, so I can understand that. But anyway, tonight's Friday night. We're going to do the old thing that John used to do. I don't know whether he does it anymore or not, but the Open Line Friday. Phone lines will be open from right now, 800-313-9443, all the way up to the time I get off the air, and we all have a good weekend, hopefully. I wanted to mention to you, I was doing some playing around. After I did that show on Flight 800, I started playing around a little bit and looking at air disasters and ship disasters. And so I was playing around, I was looking in YouTube at some videos. And I ran across this guy. Some of you may know or not know who he is, but he was doing a show with, I think it was Richie Allen over in Ireland. He doesn't live in Ireland, he lives here in the States, but Richie Allen has a show over in the UK. And I think I mentioned to you, a lot of times when I go in here and try to find some of these people to get them up on the show, they have a website, but they don't have a contact, you know, button that you can hit, or you can go in and you can dig them up online, but you can't find any way to contact them. So I have an issue with that. But today, as luck would have it, I was on there. I was watching this video of this guy with Richie Allen, and Richie says, "Well, you know, how do the people get a hold of you?" And I said, "Well, I'll just give you my phone number." So the guy gives his phone number out over this video. And I said, "Oh, cool." So I wrote down his phone number. As soon as I got through with the video, boom, I called him up. And he's coming on Tuesday night for the entire show. Now, I need to tell you folks, this is going to be a good one. Because this guy that I'm going to have up Tuesday night. And by the way, the second hour, we're going to open the phone lines, and I'm going to let you call in with your questions about the guy. But I talked to him today for about, I'd say probably 20 minutes. And originally when I called him, he had something else going on, and he was going to the airport to pick up his new wife, I believe. He just got married again. He's my age, believe it or not, 67. He married a British lady. And so he said, "Well, call me back at 2:45. So I did, and I was talking to him in the car on his way to the airport. And this guy gave me more information in the 15 minutes I was on the phone with him that I've never got this much information out of anybody in that short period of time, folks. But I have to tell you that I mentioned Flight 800 to him. And he says, "Oh, here, you know, call so-and-so." And he was giving me so much information that I forgot to write the guy's name down that he gave me. But the guy's name he gave me was actually one of the federal investigators of Flight 800. So when I talk to him again, I'm going to get that name. I'm going to get that number. I'm going to call this guy, and I'm going to have him up on the air to get his perspective from being in the inner circle of what was actually going on during that investigation. But let me just give you a few little topics here. I learned so much, and I'm not going to go into a heck of a lot of detail. But the guy's name that I'm going to have up was one of the four men that was flying an F-16 on 9/11 over Washington, D.C. Now, that's all I'm going to tell you, okay? The only other thing I'm going to say is that I'm going to just give you a couple tidbits here of some of the information, a little bit of the information that he gave me, just to, I don't know, whet your appetite maybe. But get this. Now, everybody that this guy mentions, he's got documented proof of. He doesn't say anything on the air that he can't back up and prove. But do you remember Flight 77 that supposedly crashed into the Pentagon? Do you remember the pilot's name? I'll give it to you. It was Charles Burlingame. Now, This is just a little tidbit I'm going to throw out at you. But this gentleman told me that Charles Burlingame didn't fly Flight 77 because Charles Burlingame was dead. The reason he was dead is because Charles Burlingame was the author of a training guide that was written a year before. And I remember seeing pictures of this about a plane crashing into the Pentagon. So I haven't gotten into too much detail with him about that yet, but evidently it looks like Charles Burlingame saw what the program was going to be, and he said, no, I'm not doing this. Now, I could be wrong, and I was going to ask him how Charles Burlingame was killed. They called him Chick, but it says here on my notes, and I was scribbling as fast as I could, he recognized the war plan, so they killed him. Now, that's one little tidbit. Okay, let's see. Give me a second here. He told me about Pat Tillman. He told me about a little bit about Barack Obama and the 16 SEAL team members that were killed in the helicopter crash. Told me the story behind that. He told me the story about 248 soldiers of Aero Air 1285 that were killed under orders of George H.W. Bush. And another interesting little tidbit that he gave me, do you remember when Beverly Eckert went to the White House and she had gone in and pleaded with Barack Obama to open a new investigation of 9/11. Now, Beverly Eckert was a family member of one of the people that died on 5/11, and she was a member of the group. I don't remember whether they called them the Fabulous Four or whoever they were. But the next day, when she flew out, after she had pleaded with Barack Obama to open a new investigation, she was on a flight, Colgate 3407, and she died in a plane crash. That airplane went down. It was a twin-engine plane. It was a passenger plane, turbo prop, and it went down, and I believe it was on its way, if I remember correctly. I think it was on its way to Chicago, but I remember that happening. Also, I was under the impression that the fighter pilot that shot down Flight 93's name was Rick Gibney. So I posed that question to this gentleman, and he said, no, he knows Rick Gibney very well, but it wasn't Rick Gibney that shot down that plane. He said that was a rumor that was put out by a gentleman by the name of Don de Grand Prix. And I've heard that name, and he said Don has since passed away, but it wasn't for anything nefarious. It was just that he died of old age or whatever it was. But there's one interesting incident here, and we're going to bring this up Tuesday night, so I'm just going to let you just, you know, froth at the mouth a little bit or drool. But there's an interesting tie-in between this Colgate Flight 3407, between the Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, between the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, and a number of other, he called it, let's see, what did he call it here, the Baker's Dozen, the 13, and now it's 15 planes that have gone down. Well, he's going to explain to us when he comes up Tuesday night how that happened, why it happened, and how they did it. So that should be an interesting show. Now, that said, I've been saying this a couple of times on the air, and I've decided what I'm going to do. Monday night, I'm going to air the Titanic show, which I've been sitting here savoring this show for the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, because I thought, well, that's a great job, and I just didn't want to give it to you because now I have to replace it with something else. So that's coming up Monday night. Now, I also had the opportunity to talk to, you know, once you start dialing the phone, you know, you say, well, okay, well, I might as well do this again. I talked to Doug Valentine, who wrote the book CIA is Organized Crime. Now, the problem I've got with him, he's willing to, he wants to come on the air. He's going on Susan Lindauer's show either tomorrow or Sunday. I didn't get exactly which one, but excuse me. The problem I've got with this guy, he told me, he says, look, I'm 67 years. He didn't know how old I was. He says, look, I'm 67 years old. I told him that my show airs from 10 to midnight where he lives. He says, I'm in bed by 10 o'clock. I said, well, I'm not that technically savvy, but let me see if I can, you know, possibly record the show. I'd have to get with the network and find out how that goes, and maybe we can just record the show and bring you up. And then towards the end of the conversation, he said, well, I might be able to stay up for an extra hour. Let's see. So I'm going to get back a hold of him over the weekend. So it's entirely possible that if I talk him into it, I'm going to have Doug Valentine up either Wednesday or Thursday. So you can look forward to that. Now, so the rest of the program is just going to be kind of a hodgepodge of mishmash. But I wanted you to think about something, folks, because my half a day that I had after I got through running all my monthly errands today, getting all the bills out of the way, I started looking at these disasters, and I started looking at not just, you know, people that were deliberately put out of the sky or, you know, false flag events, but events that have happened throughout history that have caused a severe loss of life that really should never have happened. And one of them I'm going to share with you tonight, along with a couple other things that really don't tie in with that. But I was thinking about this after I looked at it today. And when they bombed Hiroshima, how many people did they kill? It was I know it was over 100,000. It had to be at least 100,000. I don't remember the figure, but it was 100,000, and then there was more people that died from radiation poisoning after that and so forth. Well, the ship that delivered the bomb, for those of you who don't know, and most of you probably do, was a ship called the Indianapolis. The Indianapolis didn't make it back to port. The Indianapolis was torpedoed by a Japanese submarine, and I'm going to share this story with you because, first of all, the event that happened, we, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, folks, we set off that bomb in Hiroshima just to show them that we could. We didn't have to. Japan was already losing the war. And I think, if I remember correctly, that the Japanese wanted to enter into peace talks, but the United States said, up yours. And they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, and then they dropped it on Nagasaki. Now, the story that we get is that the Japanese were not going to give up. The Japanese would go down to the last man. I don't really believe that. But I could be wrong. You know, I've been wrong before. Now, what I will say is that I made a report out, and this is years ago, and I can't remember whether it was on RBN or whether it was on Oracle. But I took the bait of this Don Le Grand Prix, and I said that Rick Gibney is the pilot that shot down Flight 93. Well, this gentleman today on the telephone corrected me. I do know this, that in my research over YouTube, I found a medal that was given to, in secret, by the way, to whoever the pilot was that shot down Flight 93. So evidently it wasn't Rick Gibney. He told me who his three accompanying pilots were that day, and I was writing so fast. One of them's name is Dean Ekman. Another one is something Bordstrom. And then there was another one, and I didn't even write his down because he was talking so fast that I didn't get it out before he was off to his next topic. But we'll get that Tuesday night. Anyway, okay, so back to this. The torpedoed ship, the story on the Indianapolis. And again, the phone lines will be open throughout the program, so feel free to interrupt me anytime you want. The world's first operational atomic bomb was delivered by the Indianapolis to the island of Tinian on 26th of July, 1945. The Indianapolis then reported to SINCPAC, the commander-in-chief of the Pacific headquarters in Guam, for further orders. Now, she was directed to join the battleship USS Idaho at Leyte Gulf in the Philippines to prepare for the invasion of Japan. Now, the Indianapolis was unescorted. It departed from Guam on a course of 262 degrees, making about 17 knots. At 14 minutes past midnight on the 30th of July, 1945, midway between Guam and Leyte Gulf, she was hit by two torpedoes out of six fired by an I-58, a Japanese submarine. Yeah, I'm taking calls. Yeah, okay, let's hold up right there. Let's go to Scott in Arizona. Scott, you're on with Michael. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Jamie, Paul, and George. How are you tonight?
Jamie, Paul, and George?
James? No. George and Paul?
That's, no. Yeah, if you're up online, you're talking to Michael Herzog now. Jamie, Paul, and George.
Oh, Zog. I'm sorry, Zog. Let me ask you a question then.
Okay.
I'm sorry to call you Zog. Nope. We know what that stands for. Michael, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
We know who the worst president is in the last 50 years. That would be Obamhead. Okay?
Yeah.
My question to you, my friend, is who's the second worst president? And I'll predicate it by who is this worst hated president, Obamhead? Who was he controlled by? Remember that book, Compromised? Okay. The question is, who's a worse president? Who's the second worst president, would you say, in the last 50 years, Michael?
The second worst president? Well, I don't know. I would have to start, weighing them on a scale because they're all evil, or they all were. So let me think about
that
for a minute.
Thank you. I would pose Bush 41.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because this information that I had just gotten from this gentleman, I don't know whether you picked up on it, this fighter pilot, actually he was an airline pilot that retired from Northwest Airlines, but he was a fighter pilot for many, many years, and he was also in the National Guard. He's the guy that flew one of the F-16 fighters over 9/11, over the New York. And he was mentioning George H.W. Bush. And I guess one of the things he mentions was there was 248 soldiers of Army Air 1285 that were killed under the orders of George H.W. Bush. So, and that's just one of a number of things that he gave me. So I would have to say likely George H.W. Bush would be the second. Would I be close, Scott?
The second worst president. His tentacles reach all the way back to the Kennedy assassination, not to mention him controlling his chimpanzee of a son who mustered two terms out of the stupid American people, and not to mention other things, the pedophilia. I mean, we could just go on.
Oh, no.
This
is going to be a fascinating show Tuesday night because this guy gave me more information in 15 minutes that I didn't know about 9/11, and I thought I was an expert on 9/11. But,
9/11 was a hologram. I mean, come on, man.
Well,
are
I know. As a pilot.
Celine Dion with Elvis on a 360 stage?
Scott, as a pilot. And fly and owning two aluminum airplanes in the past, I have said, and my listening audience will attest to this, that if you hit a steel object like the World Trade Center,
I heard you last night. Yeah.
Yeah, you hit it with aluminum object, and it's gonna just smash. So it had to be
a
hologram.
It'll crumple up and fall to the ground. It's not gonna. Those buildings were totally impervious to an aluminum. Object flying it, I don't care what the velocity was, it would just crumple up and fall to the ground.
Well, we got into that discussion today because the official story was 530 miles an hour, and I mentioned that to this gentleman today who is a pilot. He has flown 767s and also 747s, and I told him, I said, John Lear says that it's the VMI, you can't go that fast at that low of an altitude, and he told me that he challenged John Lear on Jim Fetzer's show to go into a simulator, and he said that he could prove to them that you could go that fast. But again, it's neither here nor there because I believe that they were holograms. I don't believe they were real.
It's funny you agree with me on that hologram thing. A lot of people aren't even privy to that. Thank you for acknowledging that factoid. Because most people would say, "What do you mean hologram? All they needed to go is search out the Elvis on a 360 degree stage where he appears just as live as you and I are talking right now." Singing a duet with Celine Dion. That's the power of the hologram over the people that watch it. And the same thing on a bigger scale was enacted, on 9/11 for all intents and purposes.
Well, and again, look, Scott, as you know, there's a lot of different theories about it. We've got to go to a break. I'll hold you over if you want. Mike in Arizona, you're up next, so don't go away. Scott, what part of Arizona are you in?
Flagstaff.
Okay. All right. Hold over. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening. I got Scott up first, and then he'll close out, and we go to Mike in Arizona. Be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. I was just sharing with my board op during the break. For some of you, or most of you may know, I had some technical problems last night. My headset went out, and then Skype crashed. So I went down and bought a new headset today. And ultimately, wouldn't you know it, as soon as I get home, my other two headsets worked fine. Murphy's Law. Anyway, okay, let's go back. We're going to – Mike, hold on. Don't go away. We're going to go back to Scott in Arizona. Scott, go ahead. Anything else you want to add?
Brother, no, all I wanted to say was old man Bush, that old pedophile in chief, is really the orchestrator of everything Bush Jr., everything a criminal governor that became president for two terms. It just makes me sick to even say his name. Clinton. Yeah.
They're buddies. Yeah. They're buddies. They're good buddies.
Yeah, yeah, they're, you know, big pals. There's a book called Compromise. You know, a good thick book that really, really shows the MENA Arkansas connection. There's some troll on a sister station. I think you've heard of it, maybe. It's USA. I'm not plugging anything. Maybe I shouldn't.
Go ahead. I don't care. Go ahead.
There's a poll going on right now. Who's the worst president of the last 50 years? And Obama's taken the cake, and it's nose to nose betwixt Carter. Imagine that, the old peanut farmer, and George Bush 41 as to who's the second worst president of the last 40 years. And you know what? It's just neck and neck, and I can't. Apparently, old man Bush, you know, when they wheeled him out at halftime, it just made my stomach turn. This old, pathetic pig, un-American, hate-God-hater. I mean, where do I better
I know,
stop.
And 90% plus of the American public is clapping for him. I know. Yeah. You know, this, you're causing my show to go downhill with negativity.
I'm sorry, my friend.
Don't worry, about it, Scott. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go there. I want to get the mic.
Okay,
get back
brother. God bless. Thank you for your format. Thanks for the format.
Right. You're welcome. All right, let's go to Mike in Arizona. Mike, you're on with Michael. Go ahead, buddy.
Yes, good evening.
Hi.
Yes, I got two issues. I'd like to say something about this Nevada trial and Greg Burleson and a little bit of follow-up. I called you on your first night about this USS Liberty get-together with the survivors USS Liberty in Maricopa.
Okay.
And as far as I can determine, that's going to be on the 29th of May. That's a Monday. That's Memorial Day. And it'll be at a Raceway Cafe that's about a mile and a half south of the Auction Casino.
I know exactly where it's at. I will say this. What do you know what time it is?
Well, in the morning, there's a flag raising at the VFW post, 1:43. As you're headed south right into the city of Maricopa, right before you cross over the railroad track where the Amtrak station is, you turn east and head about 400 yards, and that's where the Veterans Center is, and that's where the flag raising will be. And I think that's scheduled for 9 a.m., and then after that, then people start congregating over at the Raceway Cafe.
I'll give you this, Mike, because I've mentioned this many times. I'm due to go back to Round Rock at some point in May. I'm not sure. John and I have talked about it. We're not real sure when it's going to be. But if I'm in town, I will definitely go, okay? But if my schedule has me in Round Rock, because John and I have some things we've got to do behind the scenes, and if he says, well, all right, it's going to be that week, then I'll be in Texas. But if I'm not in Texas, I will definitely go there. The other thing you want to talk about with Gary Burleson, now, is he the attorney for the Bundys? Is that right?
No, this is Greg Burleson. This was the guy that was identified in the court testimony by the FBI agents as a government informant.
Okay, yes.
Okay, well, you know, I poked around on the internet today and found a bunch of there were similar articles. It seems like one person wrote the article and everybody picked up on it, but I did find one kind of a unique one. And it had a little bit more information about some of the testimony from these FBI agents that were on the stand. And it said that Greg Burleson...
All right, wait a minute. Before you tell me what it said, we got to go to the bottom of the hour break. So hold on to that, okay? We'll let the audience anticipate what you're going to say, and we'll be back in three. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat. Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Okay, Mike in Arizona, give us the skinny on this Gary Burleson guy. Go ahead.
No, his name is Greg.
Oh, I'm sorry. Greg, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. So anyway, it came out in the testimony, I guess, around the last of the trial. They had put a couple of FBI agents on the stand and was asking about this information, and they had come out and said that Greg Burleson had been an informant for the FBI since 2012. Now, I'm kind of familiar with some of the players in the deal, but if you do some research, that there was a guy in Arizona, his name was J.T. Reddy, and then he had shot some, or supposedly shot up some family that he was living in Gilbert, and then shot himself. And in the testimony, the FBI agents had said that Greg Burleson was an informant since 2012, and that was when J.T. Reddy had killed these people, and that's when the FBI agents had said that he had been an informant to them. So I'm kind of seeing that maybe that cooler heads need to prevail, and we have to consider the source of where the information coming from, because it sounds more like an FBI COINTELPRO that we're going to sit here and draw everybody off the trail, the red herring tactic, and sit here and blame Greg Burleson, because after J.T. Reddy had done the deed, the FBI had contacted everybody in having to do it with anything about the activity on the illegal alien patrolling and stuff like that. And Greg was one of the ones that went to the FBI headquarters up at 7th Street in Deer Valley and talked to them for 2 hours on what he knew about J.T. Reddy and this murder investigation, because the FBI agents specifically said that in this testimony at the Nevada trial that they were having a ongoing murder investigation in 2012. So,
okay,
you know,
okay.
I'm not trying to make... No, I'm just not trying to make excuses for this guy, but all I'm saying is, you know, America, you need to put this into proper context. And just because somebody knew somebody and they got called in to asking questions about J.T. Reddy and what they knew about him and things like that, then that doesn't necessarily put you in the category of government informant and stuff. So again, we have to have cooler heads prevail. And
let me say this. This is my opinion here, Mike.
Okay.
I believe that there's two types of informants. There is the good Samaritan that, you know, thinks our government is benevolent and does nothing more than answer questions and try to help. Then there is the other type of informant that is compromised and used to, you know, infiltrate. Would you agree with that?
I agree 100%.
Okay, so what you're saying from your perspective and your research is that this Gary Burleson is not, or Greg Burleson is not likely the latter. Right?
It doesn't look that way right now on the surface. I'll tell you this. Let me pose this question. I'm not going to exactly tell you where, but if you take a straight edge and lay it across the map of Arizona from east to west and draw a line through Phoenix, I live south of that. I deal with the illegal aliens on a daily basis out here. Mm-hmm. When I'm out and about and I encounter smuggling activity and backpacks and water bottles that have been found, and I call the Border Patrol and report what I've seen, I'll ask you this rhetorical question. Does that make me a government informant?
Well, probably according to their definition. And if you're sitting in a witness stand and somebody poses the question to you, it would be a truthful statement to say that indeed you were an informant because you gave them information, which is the definition of the word, correct?
To look at this on a bigger picture, isn't this more along the lines of a neighborhood watch? We want to make sure that our neighborhoods are secure, and if we see illegal activity, aren't you obligated to inform so that the police come in and effect an arrest?
Right, but I'm saying from their perspective, they could use that on a witness stand and say that you were an informant, because indeed it is true. You did inform them. That's the definition of the word. I mean, we could sit here and play word games with, you know, statutory construction and all that stuff. But I'm just saying from their perspective, from your perspective, you're just being a guy that's, you know, watching to make sure nothing illegal happens and reporting it. OK, but from their perspective, they could use you, or they could say that you're an informant. So, you know, it just depends on, you know, the perspective.
What your definition is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the bottom line is that, you know, I'll take under advisement to my listening audience that indeed that could be true. I'm not saying that it is or it isn't as far as this Greg Burleson is involved. The only involvement really I have with this case is just trying to keep people abreast of what's going on. As far as all of the inner workings going on within that trial and, you know, the jury nullification, the signs that are up and the protesters and all that stuff, I'm not involved in it. I've done that before. Okay, and that's a very slippery slope to get into. And I choose at my tender young age to just kind of stay out of it, you know, and report on it from behind closed doors. So,
I agree. All I'm saying is, you know, we have, it's easy. I term it the low-hanging fruit, because when somebody testifies that somebody was a government informant on a murder investigation, then all of a sudden everybody jumps to the conclusion that this is the way it is, but they're not stepping back. They're standing so close to a picture they can only see one brushstroke, and what they need to do is step back 5 or 6 feet and look at the entire picture and the perspective of 2012 when the FBI admitted on the stand that that's when he would become a government informant was the same exact time frame as when J.T. Reddy did his deed. And just
let me interject something, Mike. Okay, right. so this is back in 2000. This is back in 2012. So 5 years later, 2017, an FBI agent gets on the witness stand and says that Greg Burleson is a government informant. So from the time that he originally was questioned and informed the government as to what he knew, in the eyes or perspective of the government, he is now painted with that brush from the other side of the coin as an informant. Now, you are saying, okay, the Patriot community needs to step back and look at this from a different perspective, and all they're doing really, and I'm not sticking up for either side, I'm just saying all they're really doing is going by what the FBI agent actually said, right?
Correct. But it also said in the testimony, because if we take one or two words, government informant, out of context, that's one thing. But he also said, the continuing of the statement, that he had been a government informant in 2012.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, do you know what he was doing up there? I mean, he was obviously a government informant in 2012, but he was up there, you know, amid the protest. Is that correct?
As I understand, up there in 2014, yes, he was, but I don't know what he was doing.
Okay. All right. No, that's fine. And I totally agree with what you're saying. You know, it's a matter of semantics. Sure. It's a matter of, you know, what perspective you're looking at. And I know both sides have a tendency to get carried away on this stuff, Mike, for obvious reasons. So, you know, I'll take what you say under advisement, and you've put the word out to all the Patriot community, and God bless you, you know. Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm just going to say is, you know, again, we're going to have to step back and take a bigger look at this whole version of the story. We have to consider the source of where it is, and you know, I know Greg, okay? And it's unfortunate what happened. Greg was a hothead. He sometimes would have a tendency to get carried away.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just what I'm.
Well, let me. Now it comes out that you know the gentleman. Okay, so from your, I mean, you obviously know more about it than I do, and maybe some of my audience does. So, you know, did Mike or did Greg explain to you what he was doing there? And why he was there? Because from what I understand, and again, it's only from afar, what I understand is there was never a gun pointed at any Fed. The guns were all pointed from the Feds to the protesters, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well,
and then you...
He did post some stuff on Facebook, but I'm not on Facebook, so I'm not privy to the pictures that were there. And so I don't know. What I'm saying is also this might be of the layers of the onion, that there might be someone else that's actually the true informant, because if we can't trust the FBI in the first place when they testify to these things, are they actually trying to conceal someone else's identity?
And that's a great point, Mike. And you know, the guy that I replaced, Tom Lacovere, as you know, he's sitting in jail right now up in Eugene, Oregon. And he was, evidently, from what I understand, he was picking out government informants that were infiltrating that group. So, you know, yeah. You know, well, it sounds to me like it could just be a case of Mike, or that Greg was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But it was by his own choice. Go ahead.
It very well could be. You know, the thing is if we want to go up to the Oregon deal, you know, there's all these names floating around about Mark McConnell and Buddha Cavalier and all this stuff. But there is a couple of other names that we don't see anything about, and they had actually did some testifying on what was going on. So, once again, they throw out two or three names as the red herring to draw us off the trail, when the real deep, deep, deep down ones that are still informing on what's going on. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Mike, is that that's no big surprise to us, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, this is in their playbook. So, you know, I'm sorry for Greg, and I don't take one side or the other in the issue. I'm not pointing a finger at Greg and saying, "Oh, well, he was a government informant." That's what I had heard reported. You know. So
that is correct. The thing is that it happened on last Friday's show, and it sounded like they had found the Holy Grail, and it was like Greg Burleson this, Greg Burleson that, Greg Burleson government informant, bad, bad, bad. And I was kind of reluctant to even acknowledge that somehow that I knew this guy or anything like that, and I'm not going to go into all the aspects of it because, you know, the old adage of about birds of a feather flock together. So if now I'm a caller onto this show and then somebody goes, oh, well, if Greg Burleson and Mike knows him, well, then maybe Mike is too. And it's like, you know, there's some people in this Patriot community that grasp on just the slightest little flicker of something and turn it into something that is just totally not there. And it's really dangerous to the whole bigger part, because I can tell you for a fact the FBI is having a hey old day right now, because they've done this COINTELPRO, because there were a number of the people that not only went to Nevada but also went to Oregon from Arizona, and now all of a sudden the whole Patriot community in the state of Arizona is crumbling at its foundation, because there's a bunch of paranoid people pointing fingers at everybody and accusing everybody of being a Fed and a government informant and a snitch and everything like that. And the FBI is just sitting back laughing because they got a bunch of idiots doing their work for them. And that's what's really going on.
No, I see where you're coming from. Okay, well, listen, I'm going to let you go, man. But I tell the audience, take that under advisement. That's a good point, okay? And let us not point fingers at something until we know the complete story on it. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the call. It's interesting. I mean, that's a good point, folks, is that this guy, I guess, went to the FBI, or he was questioned by the FBI on a murder case in 2012. 2 years later, he winds up there, and now they're calling him an informant. Well, what's the definition of an informant? I guess it could be if you informed, you know, if they ask you questions and you informed them of the answers, now in their eyes, you're an informant. So when they bring that out at the trial, it looks in the Patriot community like he's been working with them all along, which may not be the case. So just take that under advisement, and let's get back to where I was with the Indianapolis, which seems to be a far cry from the topic that we've been delving off into. But let's shift gears here. Again, the phone lines are open. A couple of great phone. I got three calls on the line. I didn't see them. Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the next one. Just a minute. Let's see. Oh, Jared in Louisiana. You're on with Michael. Go ahead.
How you doing, Senior? Can you hear me?
Good. I'm. I can hear you. What's up?
All right. Hey, you were saying that you were going to do a show on 9/11. I mean, really, has that not been done?
No, I didn't say.
Why do we have to go?
Hold, stop, Jared. Stop.
Why do we have to go and do that again?
Stop.
Why,
stop,
why
Jared.
Stop.
Because you just told me that I said I was going to do a show on 9/11, and I didn't say that. So I don't know where you got that information. I said I was bringing a guy up on the program that happened to be flying a jet on 9/11. I didn't tell you that the show was about 9/11, Jared. You jumped to a conclusion on that.
Now you're talking about semantics and wordplay.
No, I'm not. The only thing I said about this guy, and I didn't identify his name, is he happened to be flying an F-16 on 9/11. That's all I said. I didn't say I was doing a show on 9/11. And even if I did do a show on 9/11, if you didn't want to listen, just tune me out, Jared. It's that simple. Are
it's
we clear
that
here?
Simple.
You bet.
I guess we're clear, bro.
All right, thanks.
You know,
thanks for the call.
We don't meet in real life, you know?
What's that?
We don't meet in real life, you know?
Oh, what is that, a threat, Jared?
No, it's not a threat.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, well, there's a point you're trying to make here. You've got the floor. Give me your point.
Well, you know, 9/11 is a long time ago. And right now, Trump's causing all these problems. Even John Statmiller says that he's causing all these problems. And some people have called him and said that the Christians are the problem. And I agree that the Christians are the problems. You have all these people that say that he's the savior and all this nonsense, dude. Why don't we go back all the way, all these people that listen to this channel that you're on right now. I'm not hating on you. I just happen to call right now because I can call in right now. I don't like the guy that was before you. But I called in right now, and there's a dude in the afternoon that says he's a prophet. Well, Torah, exit. Jew and another Jew.
Jared.
All a Jew.
Jared, first of all, I cannot speak for the other hosts on this network. The only thing I can tell you.
I understand.
Okay. The only thing I can tell you, my friend, is this is my show. Okay, and I can do. Right. I can put whatever kind of show I want to put out there because John has allowed me to do so. And if I want to talk about Trump, I'll talk about him. If I don't want to talk about Trump, I won't. Most of these guys that are on during the day, Michael Rivero and John Stadtmiller, are talking about Trump. Why should I regurgitate that at night? People can tune in during the day and listen to it. Okay, and I've already cleared
talk
this.
Talk about some, like, alien stuff. How about some alien stuff at night?
Why don't you tune in to George Norrie? We got to take a break. I'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. You want to hang out for a minute? I got three other callers behind you. But if you've got another point to make, I'll hold you over. Be back in three.
Foreclosure. Expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide, foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
American Awakening, Michael Herzog, your host. Now, I just got a message from my board operator that Jared hung up, and I'm sorry that he did, because I wanted to respond to him on the air. But since he's off the air, I'm going to go ahead and respond anyway. But so, Mike in Colorado, you're up third. Joel in Wisconsin, you're up second. And as soon as I get through with this response, I'm going to go to you, Fred, in Iowa. So, Jared, look, here's what I'll do. You said, well, why don't I talk about aliens? I'll tell you what. You call into John Stadtmiller's show, and you ask John if he cares if I talk about aliens. And if John says he doesn't care, fine, I'll talk about aliens, because I had this conversation with John years ago. And John's not really in the camp of talking about aliens, okay? So with that, let's go to Fred in Iowa. Fred, you're on with Michael. How you doing?
Well, really good and so-so. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine, Fred. Go ahead.
Okay, don't get caught up in the minutiae and the semantics. And I'm telling you, the trolls are going to really be bombarding you, but you're one hell of an investigative reporter. I don't know what your nom de plume is or how you categorize yourself, but you have one hell of a show. And RBN is making changes, and I took a month sabbatical because of the depressed, saddened, pissed off, and everything else. I've tangled with John and vice versa in a love-hate relationship. But I am going to be sending in my money with what I can, and not to anybody to kiss my rear. But RBN needs help. And by God, I'm going to help with all that I can.
Well,
now,
Fred,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I appreciate that. And starting Monday, we're going on a different campaign to try to raise money for this network under a different venue. Because I agree with you. RBN needs to stay on the air. And so as far as, let me answer your question about the investigatorial thing real quick, is that when I came out to Arizona, I took a sabbatical for a couple of years, and I tried to figure out what I wanted to do. So I decided that I would go to school to be an investigator. And I went, and I got a certificate being a certified investigator. But I got the cart ahead of the horse, because when I went out, I found out that I had to do a three-year internship with private investigation firms. And when I went to apply, they wanted to pay me $8 an hour to sneak and look in people's windows at night, and I told them to get screwed. So I used my certificate basically for journalistic investigation now. That's my answer. But yes, I am a certified investigator, Fred.
I can explain that, and on the next call I'll cover investigate. Anybody can get an investigative license, but I'll cover that at another time.
Okay.
John and I have tangled, so I'm not one of these parrot callers, and I coined the phrase parrot caller, you know. Confirmation, look at my notes here, confirmation bias. But anyhow, on the Wednesday show, I darn nearly had tears in my eyes, because that was an eye-opener. And then I picked up John's Friday, last Friday show, and I missed a lot, being out of contact for a month. But you're going to talk about, you know, when you talked about Gaddafi, boy, I was so elated and everything. I've been trying to get that out for a long time. Now, I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but when you go into the Titanic, see if you mention the Olympia and the broken keel and the captain and all that. That's as far as I'll go.
No worries, Fred. I got you covered. I got to let you go.
Okay.
Trust me, I got you covered. I'm going to break. Then when we get back, I'm going to Mike second, Joel in Wisconsin first. See you on the other side, folks. Be right back.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.